Simon & Schuster Audio presents The Atlantis Revelation by Thomas Grenius. Produced by Michael Lehman Boddicker. Read by Scott Brick. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden, and the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Genesis 2:10, 3:22-24. Part 1. Corfu. Chapter 1. The Calypso Deep, Ionian Sea. Conrad Yates started having second thoughts as soon as they anchored the fishing boat Katrina over the Discovery. It wasn't just that he hated the water, or that it was 3 miles to the bottom at the deepest part of the Mediterranean, or that his Greek crew believed these waters were cursed. It was the words of a former U.S. Secretary of Defense warning that what Conrad sought didn't exist, but if it did, he was not to disturb it, or else. "Maybe it's time you gave it a rest, son, and let the damned past rust in peace." But he had come too far on his journey to recover a real-world relic from the mythological lost continent of Atlantis to turn back now. And he would never rest until he found out exactly what kind of damned past everyone would just as soon bury, simply because it threatened their own vision of the future. Conrad pulled the black neoprene wetsuit over his shoulders and looked over at Stavros, his diving attendant. The big, strapping Greek had hauled up the sonar towfish that a team of side-scan sonar experts from the exploration ship had used to get a fix on the target only hours ago. Now he was fiddling with Conrad's air compressor. "You finally fixed that thing?" Conrad asked. Stavros grunted. "Think so." Conrad glanced up at Polaris, the brightest star in the constellation Ursa Major, and then at the silvery waters. This location wasn't on any charts. He'd found it by using ancient poems, ship's logs, and astronomical data that only an astroarchaeologist like himself would take seriously. Yet he was...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?